Be thou exalted in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let's glorify God for this opportunity and privilege once again. Oh Lord, thank you, my God. What a joy, what a
thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Father, we thank you once again for this privilege. We do not take this for granted. We do not see this as a routine, as a ritual, as a tradition. We see it every weekend as a privilege to encounter your grace. To encounter your grace. Thank you for your gift.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you. We are guided. In Jesus' most precious name we have. Father, we thank you. We bless everyone tonight by God for being here. It's always a privilege to have every one of us here, to have us joining and fellowshipping on this round table. We give God praise. You are all welcome to tonight. It's always a privilege to have everybody here gathered at the round table and its purpose of impact. Let me say this, that what we are doing here is not ending here. Now, what you are seeing is a work that will rock the whole earth. This is not just some operation within a obscure zone. This is to be taken to the place where it can influence the lives of thousands. There are certain scrolls and depths of insight and revelation, exploits and insight from God that cannot be unsealed at this level, because it will be underutilized, because it pertains to a whole generation of people. The things that we are teaching you and you are coming into knowledge of, when God begins to draw more people, they will have to go and relearn everything you have learned. They will have to go and start listening to the audios you have already listened to and listening to, which is why we preserve this audio for posterity. We preserve them for posterity, make them available and produce them, because generations will refer to them. Generations will refer to them. What you are seeing is a systemized process. People think God does not teach a man randomly. Even your physical education in the natural world has a curriculum. You don't teach anybody arithmetic without teaching them to recognize figures. You start with 1, 2, 3. Before you know the value of, or the quantity of each figure, or the value of each figure, or quantity, as both of them are accurate to use, you must know their progression. You know 2 comes after 1. So they acquaint you with their increasing magnitude before you even understand that 2 comes after 1 is showing that 2 is greater than 1. So they teach you 1, 2, 3, 4 to 100. And then you know 100 is greater than any number from 99 downwards. Eventually, you begin to know the magnitude. You may ask a little kid 2 plus 3 and he will tell you 2 plus 3 is 1. It doesn't, and you are like, it's not possible. He doesn't understand why it's not possible, because he can't yet understand or apprehend the concept of numerical magnitude, the magnitude of numbers, so that a number is greater than another. Until that is in place, you cannot teach anybody how to do arithmetic. So the systems of man understands that you must start from basic to arrive at the sophisticated. So even so, Jesus Christ knows that a generation must be educated from a place. So heaven designs curriculum. When people are automatically imported to complex things, you can always tell a deficiency. So that's why you see Peter admonishes the deliverers that as sincere as babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow by it. What I'm saying is, you are in a systemic or a systemized schooling process, and everything is building at a depth. Some of the things we are teaching you and you are coming to know is preparing the foundation for you to receive fullness of revelation. We spoke to some folks in the year of 2019, and we continually said that some folks do not have foundation for revelation. Someone said, what does foundation for revelation mean? They don't have the baseline, a framework to receive context from God, because they will not make sense of it. Every mathematician knows when he sees something like x is equal to 2y plus 3, he recognizes that it is a linear equation and contains two variables, and that it's going to be impossible to find the both values of the variables without a second equation that relates the quantities together. So one can only be expressed in relation to the other. Now, you can't bring somebody from nowhere and give him that. He doesn't have foundation to receive that kind of expression. So he must learn, first of all, algebra from scratch before he can receive that. And you can already see that in fabrication, in design, mathematics remains the foundation for anything engineering. Now, this is just in the world of men. There is a basic requirement for you to receive depth from God. You want the meat of the world, you must start from the milk. You want to know the presence, you must understand priesthood. If you want to understand priesthood, you must go and learn from Exodus. Or maybe say Exodus. You must understand the protocols of Moses' tabernacle. That book, Leviticus, you don't like, you must read it and know what they are talking about. You must understand protocol. You must understand the vessels of ministry and the apparels. You must have eaten those things, then you will start seeing priesthood without heaven. That day you will now begin to realize that there's actually priesthood in heaven. From there you will move to understand priesthood of divine things and priesthood of heavenly portals and heavenly realms, how to host heavenly dimensions, how to offer yourself as a sacrifice or offer yourself up in priesthood to be the bearer of the realm. You will know why some folks, some native herbalist folks, why they always remain in darkness. They won't come outside during the day. That is, for any time they try it, they lose all their powers. So you see them, they only come out at night. And they have folks like that. To contain the power, the evil power in them, they must not see daylight. So some of them hide inside cave where they won't smell daylight. Then they come out at night, explore, do their business at night. When it's almost the breaking of the day, they return back to hide. Those things are spiritual operations of requirements and laws. Well, they are negative, but it's not like it is a posture of a life to be able to sustain fellowship with the spirit. Sustain fellowship with the spirit that empowers them in the physical world. They are postures in real life that you must sustain to host the spirit. And you can already see that the spirit of might in Samson was tied to the oath over his life that as a Nazarene, his head should not be cut. The same oath was pronounced over the prophet Samuel. The mother said that, I will give him to you, and all the days of his life, a razor will not come near his head. Those are oaths with mantles and covenants from God that give expression. Now, how can you sustain such a thing if you have no understanding of it?
So we have an arrangement where what you desire is greater than what you can receive. So God will first answer your prayer in making you able, in making it possible for you to receive the things you have asked for.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus said to his disciples, not every man can receive this. There are things that people can receive. There are things people cannot receive. Not every man can receive this. Some do not have foundation for revelation. You are here for your debt to be dug. Do you understand? Father, I will give you praise. I don't know who Jennifer Siaba is, but I'm talking to you. Yes, don't know her, but I'm talking to you. Stay here and catch every word and apply your life to it. Don't know how you came into the round tables or who invited you, but however you came, you are in a place of purpose. Place of purpose. Stay here, catch every word. Learn it. Hear it until you can teach it as your own doctrine. Learn everything that is said, catch it. You are here for destiny, formation, structuring, alignment. So, Jennifer, you have come here, stay, settle, and learn.
Thank you, sir.
Glory to God. I said something to us while we were praying. I was praying, Father, thank you for this grace. See, the word of God is so excellent. Heaven bears witness how we long for this word of God. Ah, Jesus Christ, for the word of God. Every riches in Christ that we have is via the word. We don't play with the word of God. It is our gravity. It's why we have weight on the. It's why we have weight. It's the gravitational force that holds us together. You know, the wisdom of gravity is that God used gravity to hold the planets. You don't realize. Gravity is the secret why the solar system is in place. The moon falls towards the earth and goes around it. The solar system and everything moves around the sun because of gravity. God used the concept of gravity to design the solar system. The word of God is the gravity. It's what makes our life to go on. Don't ask for money. Ask for the light of Christ to shine in you. It will give you more than what money can get. It will set you apart. It will leave you with a gift. It will leave you with deposit of value that your generation will wonder at you. Don't play with it. The word of God is superior to everything you learned in school. It can teach you what even your professorship, your education cannot teach you. The longest psalm in scripture is Psalm 119. In short, it's the longest book with the longest verse. Chapter with the longest verse. That chapter is dedicated to the praise of God for his word. In that chapter, book, David said, I have more understanding than my teachers. See, the word of God is just enough. I'm not talking about you read this. Enter it. Eat it. Learn it from cover to cover. Know it. Fast on it, tongue on it, live on it, dwell with it. Wisdom is broken open inside the world. God, the word of God is a speaking spirit. When you have so much of it inside of you, it begins to whisper in your heart. Don't play with it. A gift from the Holy Spirit can be transmitted through gospel. John G. Lake, his wife was dying in affliction. Oh my God. And then out of frustration, he was angry. He had believed the word, declared the word, all man, and then he flung the book. He flung the Bible out of despair. And then quickly repented to pick it back up. But then when he flung the book opened itself to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. His word changed, flashed out in 1 second, and he said, oh my God, this affliction is not of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can heal the oppressed. And in that word, he prayed for his wife. She jacked out of that affliction. It opened up the Lake Healing Ministry in South Africa. The in short, his healing gift was confirmed by science. When there was an outbreak of the bubonic plague, the plague would die in his hand under microscope. That is, they were observing the causative organism that was causing the plague die in his hand under a microscope. It opened up again. Your gift is waiting for you at the other side of God's light. Some of you are supposed to work in diverse realms of gift. It's not a man that will. There are gifts that they lay, there are other gifts that open up for you when the light of God breaks open. You are void of gifts because you are void of words. The word of God opens up new realities in people. People broke into the gifts of prophecy when they drank in the word until the word began to talk out of them. And then they discovered that they were already operating in a prophetic stream. Some entered the gift of healing when they saw the light of healing. And then they began to operate in healing. That's taking them around. Some ain't secured financial prosperity forever when they saw the light of God's word. That financial prosperity comes from God. What have you assessed? What word has transited you to another reality? What word? Forget anything you have been learning. If you have not transited it to a new order, you have not started entering the world. All those reading, if you have not shifted it, the word of God is spirit. It's not economics. It's not geography. You read it, you nod your head. It's an intellectual concept. I agree. It's supposed to be a spiritual transformation that has proof. You read the word until your life starts adjusting physically. You know things are changing in your life. You are aware. It's not. So read the word until you are changed. Read the word until you become another entity. And it comes at the cost and price of discipline and staying with it. You take it up as a course. A course. You bear it as a course. C-O-U-R-S-E. You learn it. If you don't give heed to the word will not give heed to you. The same measure you measure into the word, it is the same measure that will be measured back to you. The idea of God's availability, the idea of God's provision is that the word should meet all your needs. The word is spirit and life. It's not intellectual apprehension. You get this is what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said actually. But what Jesus said there is a spirit that should enter your spirit, that should live inside of you. When you take that word again, say, Father, open down my eyes, that I may behold wonders out of your book. That I may behold wonders out of your book. Everyone that is connected, I should say, with what is going on here, you are going to a place. The objective of this is to carry you until you approach your destiny. To carry you until you approach your destiny. To carry you until you approach your destiny. And is carry you and guiding you your own paths. Guiding you your own paths. We have folks there that do diverse things. That is, they are not like some of them are evangelists and they are preachers of God's word, of course, sons of God that will share the good news of the gospel. But they are all in their own respective. The idea is to carry you and guide you and watch you until you approach destiny. And there are folks really here that are making strides. Some are finding the word of God for their life. And their word is having direction. Some are already catching visions and having ideas from God as to where to apply their life to. Which direction to apply. Some persons have nowhere. They don't have a direction of application of life. They don't know what to give their life for. they are working, aiming, and just ready to do stuff and just be buying things. Well, at the end of their days, for some folks, the care is not taken. It won't be clear what they use their life for. And if you are not sure what your life counted for, maybe it didn't count for anything. If you are not sure what your life counted for, maybe it didn't count for anything. You can't be making impact and you are not aware. You'll be aware at the long run. What will you give your life for? The world will make it known to you. Destiny is that you find what you are to do and you do it with all your life. That is destiny. You find what you are to do and then you do it with all your life. You find what you are supposed to do and you do it with all your life. Dear folks, it is not written about them that they were musicians in their life. But if you look at fathers, you can tell that this used his life to look at a man like Reinhard Bonnke, who has transcended into glory. We don't know if he wrote a song. We don't know if but we know what he used his life for. We know what he used his life for. Destiny is that you find what you are to use your life for, and then you apply all your life in that direction. We are applying our life in a direction. Everything we are doing is geared and oriented towards that direction. Destiny is that you find what your life is to count for, and then you apply it in that direction. Do you know, have you found where to apply your life? What will you use your life for? What will you do with your lifetime? You want to do everything? No, you can't be doing everything. I said to somebody who returned after he graduated, graduated, I said that you are going in no direction. Don't go and be doing everything. God will not strengthen you. And he said, Paul said, I can. He didn't say I will. I can't is a matter of possibility. Will is a matter of intent. He didn't say I will do all things. He said I can. I can. He himself went for that to say, this one thing I will do. What am I saying? You must have, where are you going to apply your life? There are some persons that God has called to be authors. Authors of books that will change human life. Authors of narratives that will inspire people. Authors of narrative that will be adapted as screenplays and Christian movies will be drawn out of. That will stand in terms of excellence and quality of production anywhere. Authors of books. And we are going to get to those things. I trust God we are going to visit those departments very shortly. Most people don't realize that most of their best-selling movies in the world today were books. The Avengers series are adapted from comics. Name all the Avengers billion-dollar movies. They are adapted from comics. Your Jurassic Park, all of that, adapted from comics, adapted from novels. As a matter of fact, the director of Jurassic Park, that's Steven Spielberg, had to ask the author to write a sequel to the book. That is the part two of the book, so that they can adapt it out of it. I'm telling you based on what we have researched. Not like we sat down, we are watching all these movies. But we know of these things going on. Adapted out of books. Legend of the Seeker, the series, out of a book. Very good guide. Merlin, out of a book. Billion dollar enterprise. Jack Reacher series, out of a book. Some of you have gifts of God to author narratives that will inspire generations. A single movie inspires a generation. Look at a classic like The Sound of Music. That movie was shot in 1964. 63, 64. The actors of that movie, the youngest of them is over 80. Still remains a classic. People grow up with it. You can apply yourself to only writing. You don't have to do too much to prosper. Just do the right thing. When you are doing the right thing, where you should apply yourself, you'll be blessed. You know how much was given to the author of the Jurassic Park when the movie made billions in the box office? The percentage was given to him out of every court. It was his brainchild. There are many books. I don't want to start naming books and movies tonight that were written and then a screenplay was adapted out of it. And you can even write a screenplay directly. And you are saying, who will produce the movies? We have Christian movie studios and production houses that will emerge with genuine Christian content, genuine skill in media and film production, filmography, with correct, that can stand anywhere in the world in terms of anything. You see, most of the things selling now, content, have labels of supernatural. The world likes it. You are the one who has the real, you live it. Why can't you draw out of wisdom? You can write one story and God's breathing on that wisdom, it can turn to anything. You can apply your life to be an author. There are people who only write for a living. Look at Chimamanda. She's an author. No worldwide. I'm pointing out people around. We just got to have time to talk about this. But you can apply. Listen, there are people who are only known for music. And where their music are taking them to their world. Some of you don't even know what they study from school. Why? Applying their life in the right direction. You are wasting time. You bore yourself. You just sit down. Sit on your laptop and conceive. You have tools to publish. You are just sitting. Your life itself is a story. Look at Frances Rivers. Some of the stories she writes are mixed with her own life stories and then inspiring narratives. Your life alone is enough. There are people whose journal of their own life becomes a bestseller. Somebody say, your mess is your message. Your message may not be a preach, your message can be a book. It's still a message. The scripture is full of stories. You don't know, the Holy Spirit tells you stories. Genesis will tell you stories of men. Then you will find the word of God. There are just too many possibilities. You don't have to do all creation. Find your gift, find your path. Apply all your life to it. Say, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I'm charging us today. The Bible says that every one of them shall walk in their path. They will not break rank. There are some places all God calls you to do is to use your life to music, to glorify Him through music, through singing. You don't have to do another. It will preserve your generation. Look at the man of God, Domuen Renkadoli. Domuen is known from, we knew him, you know when you knew Domuen. You don't know whatever he studied. Some of you don't even know the name of his wife. But the gift of God told him, it to glorify God. If you find, people talk about, some of you are looking for security in the economy of your government, you have failed again. Find security in God's assignment for your life. That is what we preserve you. Don't mistake it. And when you are not finding it, you are not prospering in that direction, you are failing in life. My God. So we lived our lives, still do, oh Lord, to find where to apply ourselves for Christ. And some who found what they should apply themselves to Christ found out that God had called them to apply themselves in government. So he gave them a place in government. Some discovered that God had called them to apply themselves in the corporate world. So they applied them. So he opened doors and they are in the corporate sphere making impact. Some God had called them to apply themselves in various directions. Some in ministry and in pastoring, being a spiritual leader over a flock, and they apply themselves in that direction. Why not find your and apply yourself? Give all your life. Don't hold anything back. When you find what God wants to do with your life, give everything. All your life. Don't hold anything. Let them say, your own is too much. You want to kill yourself? Give all your life under guidance. Give all your life. Everything. Don't hold anything back. Let heaven see that this guy doesn't hold anything back. He has given everything he has. He has given all himself. Give all your life. When you find it, give all your life. If he calls you to compute, give all your life. Pray fast. Do Holy Ghost preparations. And excel so that you can give praise to God. You will not do all the same thing. But when you find your own, give all your life to it. All your life. All your life. The reason sometimes why we don't agree to give all our life. If everybody is giving all their life, the church will be an excellent assembly. You see, the people who are giving all their life, they are all stars in their field. Somebody is telling you that he fasted for 1 year to approach the things God has called. You say he's a pastor. What stops you from fasting that long? See, until you understand that the requirement of God is the same, irrespective of the area of calling, it will help you on time. You know, me, I'm a businessman. But it's pastors that fast. You don't know the demons that are available in business places. You don't know. I heard a story. This man, I know the man. It's one of his staff that was telling me this story. That he called some people to pray for his business. And when they prayed, they told him somewhere in his wall that he should break that place. And when they broke it, and they had contact with the hollow in the block, they dipped and discovered there was some red stuff tied. And immediately they brought out the red stuff. Somebody called the businessman and said, "What have you done?" He said, "What is it?" He said, "I helped you and put something in your business and you are removing and destroying it." That is, he was not even aware that such a thing was in his business place. But he just knew things were going somehow. And then he made the demands for spiritual intervention. And these people came and prayed and then had a prophetic revelation and said, "This side, there's something here. You think it's dumb. You are a computer programmer. You are not fasting. You are not tonguing. There is the spiritual dimension of what you are doing. That's why you're operating at the ordinary level with everyone who has gone to school. Fetch out of a realm. Let it be clear. Let them know that something is different about you. How can you be the same with them? They are not fasting. They are eating, living all manner of lifestyle, drinking, and they are coding. You too, you are a child. You are operating at white. Come on. Until we realize that the demand is equally the same, you will fast, even if you are a footballer. We don't know of people that in Brazil, this story is recorded in, is it Cindy Jacobs' book? In Brazil, there was this newspaper carried this new story I want to tell you. This footballer, is it Romero or what is his name? In a final they were playing. His mom was in Brazil practicing voodoo so that her son, I think Romero, will, so that they will win the final of that competition. So when believers got a wind of it, they began to pray in that country where it was going on. Newspaper carried it that it was Jesus versus voodoo. I have that story in one of these books. I'll pull it out to get your money. But if you Google it, you will find it. So they were praying against it. The mom had gathered, was before the television screen watching the football game and was doing incantation and breaking beer and offering to the deity. And then they rose up against it. That day he played, this particular guy, I think it's Romero, what was his name, played the way, he shot, he even missed the penalty. And the people are carrying it that Jesus Christ defeats. They were aware it was spiritual warfare. Tell me, demons are everywhere. They're everywhere. Irrespective of your faith, the demand is the same. God will demand spiritual impute from you. Pray. You must know the depths of fellowship. Find where you are to apply your life. And when you have found it, give your all. Don't care if you will die. You won't die. Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. When you think you're about to die, you are giving your life is being changed to something glorious. Give all. Don't hold back. Give all. When you find where you are to apply your life, give your all. Go ahead, give God praise. Begin to pray and say, Lord, show me where to apply my life. I promise you, I will apply my all. Pray in your heart. Show me which direction to apply myself. Lord, I promise, I will give you all. Show me which direction. If it's business, if it's fashion, let me tell you. Those people in the fashion do not think far. You have been sewing for 10 years. It has not occurred to you that you should now have a clothing label. How did Louis Vuitton, Ralph Lauren, how did they start? Why don't we think like that? How did these designers with their own unique logo, how did they start? You are designing very well. Some never want, they can join the material, they are okay. God wants to prosper. Why not give the body of Christ a designer? Unique, illegal, until you have a clothing factory like the one they had in the East, and you are producing at industrial scale clothing with Christian label, and they know that this is the owner of this designer label. Look at Ralph Lauren, it has abided for generations. David Beckham's wife has a designer label of her own. How did she start? You can research it. How did designers? How did this designer label start? How did Gucci start? How did all these prominent ones start? How did they start? How to start? You may not be able, you may not be producing at factory level, but you can start making customized apparel. How did they break into the market? Why are we not thinking like that? You buy two sewing machines for 10 years. You're only happy that your number of apprentices were 3. Today they are 5. Next year, they are several. See, we are growing. You are growing at a limited level. Why are we not thinking big? Maybe there is, and of course, there are people breaking that dimension. But I'm waiting to see a Christian believer who is a renowned fashion designer that we have a unique, recognizable, and notorious righteousness label that we will wear. And see, this was produced by a Christian brother. He tongues, he speaks in the Holy Ghost, he hears from God. Bezalel was a fashion designer. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the one that sold the fashion wear of the priest. Why are we not thinking like that? You know there are demonic clothes people wear. Now you see everybody is wearing, both young guys, they are wearing shorts above the knee to the thigh level with big t-shirts. Everywhere in the city you see them. To corporate places, they wear that nonsense with rubber slippers. There are influences that a fashion carries because it comes with the trend, it's a spirit of prosperity. There are fashion trends that go on with immorality and abominations. Why not produce one that has the breath of the Holy Spirit. God breathed. And you lay hands on all of them, Lord, the mantles from Paul casted out devils. Let this be mantles to cast out devils at a broad scale from a generation. You call your pastor and your prayer team, your workplace, they pray over these apparatus. Let them cast out devils from a generation. People are wearing them and they come from under conviction. It's possible now. It happens in scripture. Paul's handkerchief is casting out devils. If handkerchief can cast out devils, if you make a long sleeve, it will cast out legions. You know how many handkerchiefs are in a long sleeve? Let's think further. It may not be our field. We won't have time to sit on your machine and be sewing for you. We don't have time. We will not have that time to be sewing and be managing a clothing factory. But that is what they have called you to do. Why not do it properly? That's what they have called you to do. Why not do it with the anointing? We will not have time to do that. It's not our field. But that is your field. It's your business line. Make it spiritual. Where you find what to do, apply your life to it. Jesus is Lord. Father, we give you praise. Well, welcome again to the round table. That's the first dose of the word. And then we enter to the body of tonight's teaching with the balance of the time that we have. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Give us grace within this time and make us understand your doctrine further. In Jesus' name. We have been on a series already, and last economy. And you can already see that this has a lot of link with the people in business, and we are all traders. Like I said, if you work anything, as long as you buy, you are in the trade, because you are exchanging wealth for utility. So we have been in that series, and we've talked about quite a number of things. Yesterday we looked at the concept of gain, and we spoke a lot of things. Today we come to complete that concept within the time that we have left, and how far we go this weekend. We'll continue from next weekend. So we are looking at profit, game, and economic theories, or the game theories. And this is so important. This is so important, the game theories. Father, we give you praise. All right, so we take over our scripture from Ezekiel 28, from verse 1 to 5. So Ezekiel 28, from verse 1 to 5, decrees that the word of the Lord came to me saying, the word of the Lord came to me again saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a God, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a God. Do you set your heart on the heart of a God? He said, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. Say, with your wisdom and understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. Your heart is lifted because of your riches. So through wisdom, you gain riches and all that. So we have been looking at wisdom. So tonight we look at the concept of game theories again. Yesterday we talked about the game. We defined the game as a series, and it's an event that meets specific conditions. It can be defined by setting properties. Like we said, that if you see a celebration, you know a celebration. A celebration, you look for music, you look for food, you look for felicitations, you look for chatterings, you look for excitement. When you just see a celebration, you know. You may not know if it's a birthday celebration, an anniversary celebration, a promotion celebration, an inaugural celebration, or an appointment celebration, but once you see a celebration, you know. It's because it falls into definite characteristics or features that are unique or akin to celebrations in line. You understand? So in the same time, when there are kinds of events that qualify to be a game. And we said, when we say game, we are not talking about your video game. We told you that game is also a branch in mathematics, in statistics and computer science. It's used for diplomatic negotiations between countries. It is used for negotiations when there is a terrorist situation and there are hostages, because those kinds of scenario falls into the description of game. And we said that a game is any event that is governed by a fixed set of laws and has a set of objectives with a limited number of outcomes. There are laws that guide it, there are objectives in it, and then the outcomes are limited. And we are going to go for that to understand the concept of game so that you will know what we are talking about. If we look according to this definition and modeling, we can see that if you want to analyze what a game is, we see that there is the concept of the game itself. The game itself. There are players of game. The player are people that participate in this. That's concept of a game. Please don't see video games. I'm teaching you a statistical concept, a mathematical concept, a computer science concept without using their approaches. I'm teaching you out of another kind of depth. But I'm only showing you that these things go be. It's not something of pleasure. There are scenarios that go on in real life. This theory is what has prevented nuclear invasion, because there's what is called a mutually assured destruction. A mutually assured destruction is a fixed theory in principle of warfare. And this theory is stemming out of game theories in mathematics. So you see that they are using this theory to keep both parties to be nuclear, to be in terms of nuclear warfare, to be at a base, because they understand this concept. Do you understand? All right, so we have the game itself. The game is the event and the scenario. Father, we give you praise. Then we have the players. The players are the participators in this particular game. Please don't see video games, all right? And then we have the rules of the game. And we have the objective of the game. And then the set of possible outcome. And then we have the implications of this outcome. So let's use this to model a thing. I know every one of us has played the game of Ludo. And so let's use the game of Ludo to understand this concept so that when we drive it out, you will get it. Because when they say A is for apple, B is for ball, they are trying to familiarize a child with objects he knows so that he can be acquainted with alphabet. A is not for apple, A is an alphabet. Do you understand? Yes, A is an alphabet. It can be for, it's for aeroplane too. So A is an alphabet, but they say it's for apple so that you can, it's for familiarity. And sometimes when they say B, he remembers ball. When he sees B ball, he remembers B is for ball. And then he knows the consonant sound that accompanies it. Do you understand? All right, so if you look at a simple game as the Ludo that everybody has played, there is the Ludo piece itself and it's a board game. I would have used chess, but not everybody here is a chess player. If I take a statistic now, maybe about 90% of the people don't know how to play chess, right? So let's use something that people are familiar with. All right, so we have the board game itself, let's say Ludo. And then we have the players of this game, which with a maximum of 4 players. We have the objective of the game. The objective of the game is that get all your pieces out of, complete your movement around the Ludo board. Complete your pieces and your movement. And the set of possible outcomes is that you either lose at the end or you won. Or there was a draw. I don't think there's a draw in terms of one stance of a play. You don't draw. Somebody wins or loses. Now, there's one other thing when you understand the game. It's called a strategy. What happens, where the main action of a game is at the strategy. And strategy is not learned at once. Strategy is achieved when you understand the game itself. So the rules of the Ludo game is very simple. You cast your die, your movement is determined by the turnout of the die. And at one throw, you can't have a maximum movement of more than 12, because the largest number at each face of the die is 6. So you are restricted to that. But game strategy is what ensures the favorable outcome, which is why you see that if you play the game of chess, it's not about knowing how the pieces of chess move. If you don't have strategy, you can't win. Let me tell you, there are computer programs designed to play chess so sophisticated that there are only a few instances where the human being defeated. Some of them, if you see the computer that they use to program chess, high-level computers with great processors because of the complexity of the chess piece. Because when you want to win in chess, you have to put your opponent in a stalemate. That is, you put your opponent in a position, not a stalemate, in check. You put your opponent in a position where his king can't take a move without being captured. So with all those plenty positions on the chessboard, you have to strategically place your piece in such a way that if his king moves in every direction, there is no way he will move without falling into being captured. That's when you checkmate. There are computer programs designed to anticipate movement with super processors. So the game of chess is only won by the individual who can outthink the other with strategy. So if you study chess, and there are chess courses, there are different strategies. There's a strategy that plays out wide. There's a rapid attack strategy. There's a diversion strategy in chess. When you are playing a game, it is strategy that gives you the outcome you desire. And strategy is beyond knowing the rules of the game and the objective. It's experience and understanding the game in detail. So if you play the Ludo game, for an instance, there's a common strategy. When we used to play, it was a strategy I used. I call it the assassination strategy. Can we hear me?
Yes,
Pastor. We call it the assassination strategy. The assassination strategy is that you move your piece all the way to just wait for the other opponent's piece, for when his own piece comes out. Maybe when he casts a die of six, you know, six counts starts from that colored box. And if six, five, you count from the colored box 5 steps forward. You put your piece in that box before the six, the colored place where he counts his six forward from. You count it in such a way, you position it such a way that immediately his piece comes out, you capture it, right? And once you capture it, the piece returns back to the box and waits for another die to cast. But one setback with this strategy is that you need to have another piece to always count excess steps for. Because if you cast a seven and you capture him, but you have to play five, you end up appearing before the piece you want to capture, and then you become the endangered piece. So if you are playing that piece, when you have a wasted piece, you count it to another piece somewhere, and if nothing tallies, you keep moving it around. How many of us know that strategy? Who uses that?
Yes, sir.
Very well, we know it.
Glory to God. That's a game strategy. The only way to overcome that strategy is that you stay in one position and take note if he has a piece that he can keep counting for. Because if you are strategic enough, that piece that wants to capture you to assassinate your piece will end up before you. In the game of what? There is the star demand technique. That is, you know when you have your word, the word that makes you need, I need this, and then you put it, the player is expected to give you what you demand. Sometimes the strategy we use is when we have three cards that have the word sign where you can demand, we keep it aside and leave it till the end. Then once we come to the end, we begin to demand star, because within the probability of word, the one of the shapes to get is the star shape. The reason is because not every number has star. So you demand give me star. He goes to the market again. Say, give me another star. Last card, check. That's the strategy. It's a weak strategy. There's another counter approach strategy where you reserve your pick tools for the check. But where the strategy fails is that if you don't issue a pick two on time, you may not get the right shape to lay a pick two down. Now, you see, you can know that what in the game of what just plays the shapes that is being laid on the card. But if you don't have a strategy, you don't know how to play the game. They'll just keep beating you down. So you can even see in the game of football, it's not about kick the ball, pass the ball, go and score. No. Coaches are there. You see them with notebooks. They are developing strategy. And there are different strategies. There's the wide attack strategy. There's the counter attack strategy that talks about speed and just quick play. Let me tell you, when you see professional teams playing, they are playing to a strategy. There is a law guiding how they play. There are teams that play the wide outward. They play from the angle, and they always drive it wide. They don't use the center. There are teams that penetrate from the angle, and for that study, the world, they need to have a strong linesman with speed and good tactical dribbles. At the same time, let me not expose some more, because there's a time where we'll talk more about some other things. This talks about strategy. So when you acquaint yourself with a game, it's strategy that determines your outcome. Praise the Lord. Game strategy is the heart of a game. Like those of us that played, maybe you played Contra when you were small. We try to reserve as many extra life as you have until you get to the final boss. That's your game strategy. Some of you will reserve some weapons, some explosives. You don't use it until you get the final boss because it's the most difficult to defeat. So when you get here, you start unleashing all your arsenals that you have preserved. That's the game strategy. When you are playing the game of words, there are certain cards you play anyhow. Even if you have something to play, you still go to the market because you are preserving that card. When you are in a scenario of a game, you have a strategy you use to become successful in it. But strategy has to be developed by building from the rules, the laws. Because every strategy, you can't be playing football and the strategy is that you are running outside the box. You are in throwing now. Every strategy is built out of the law of the game by your skillfulness in the law. A strategy is like wisdom. You know, when you went to school, they taught you how to read and write, but they didn't teach you how to write a book. They didn't teach you how to come up with a story. They may tell you the laws of the syntax of the English grammar and how to form sentences and use of punctuation. The story is a concept inside of you that you use the grammatical laws of English to give expression, to give structure to that people can read. So I won't teach you how to come up with your story. You will write your story on three wise men. The boy who rose to fame. You will write your story because you thought of it. But then you will use the syntax of English language to give birth to that story, write it in clear terms so that we'll be able to relate with your thoughts. Your thoughts will be captured in ink and structured in letters. That's what a strategy in the game is. You take the laws and the rules and build a formidable gameplay. That's why you see, when you see a football game, a basketball game, the coach is not enjoying the game like the supporters are shouting. He's observing, is taking note of what is going on. The coach doesn't watch the game the way the fans are watching. They are enjoying the gameplay. It almost scored. He's seeing loopholes, seeing where the strategy he gave to his team is failing, finding out why he's failing. That's why still, when it's just half time, they take off a player, move a player from here to here, and say, now play like this. And that's why he's always at the sideline screaming. Once there's a pull out, a throw in, and a player comes to pick the ball, he sends him with a message to the captain He sends him the message to this player. He said, tell this player that he shouldn't do like this anymore. People are enjoying the football match, enjoying the basketball game, but he is observing the gameplay to make tactical changes. When you play the game of chess, there are tactical captures. There are fixed positions. When you familiarize with chess play, you realize that there are certain things that are like templates. The strategy that most chess experts do, or the strategy they play with, especially when they are playing with a non-expert that is not familiar with this law, they play the game in such a way that they put you in a position that if a template of checking, you end up being there. That is, they push you to a place where you bring all your pieces in a particular way, and then they use that tactic to knock you out. You may not, maybe it doesn't, maybe somebody say what you are saying, we can't relate with it because we don't play chess. But what I'm trying to say is that there are fixed templates. Just when this piece is here and this piece is here and this piece is here, it's a check for the other opponent. So when you are not familiar with this gameplay of with this strategy, they will play you in such a way that you will pull out your piece and end up putting yourself in the position they want you to be. To be an excellent chess player, you must know all those common tactics so that when he's trying to put you in this way, you pull yourself out. But if you don't know these strategies and the gameplay, they will pull you out here. He will put his piece here so that you can capture it. You knock him out. And when you play a game of chess, it's not about capturing your opponent's piece. You can capture somebody's opponent, you capture a piece of your opponent, he has only three pieces, and he will defeat you in the game. But he's putting his piece here, you follow him there and knock him out there. He put this one here, you follow him there and knock him out there. And he draws all your pieces to a place, and then he takes just two steps, and he has defeated you in the game. I'm like, how did you do that? So if you want to master the game of chess, there's this story about a chess player that had memorized how several fixed chess move. You can't use those things to disarm him. He knows the chess piece by memory and knows all the locations of the pieces in such a way that when you are advancing a direction, he knows the technique you're about to use. He pulls himself out of everything, but he himself has devised another technique that you don't understand. So when you see a game of chess playing, those guys thinking with their hand on their brain, what the engine that is running in their mind, there are some that play against a computer program. And we thank God we have a couple of computer programmers here. You know the kind of machine learning techniques that you need to use to program a computer piece to understand the player's move. I was with one of our programmers here, and I just chipped in a question. I said, let's build a model system that can play tic-tac-toe. And so I brought out a sheet of paper, I wrote, the person wrote. I said, okay, so if just this. I said, if we are not careful, if we build this system like this, we'll build a system that does not win a game, but we only stop a winner from winning. So I said, well, we can implement it in this place, like this. And we're just interfacing. And from that, you can already see how that it requires a thinking process to develop a strategy to win a game. That's why you see that game is not for form. The educational game, they are games that teach people how to think. They are mathematical games. Games like Sudoku, games like chess, teaches you logic. It expands your brain power. That's why you see people that play chess, they are geniuses. They call them prodigies. Some have memorized patterns already. So it's not fun. It's intelligence burning out. But like they say, if you like your work, you will never get to work again because it will be all fun for you. Like if you like painting and you are an artist for a living, every work will be fun time. So you can already see what we are talking about. So in terms of the economy, I told you that when things fall under certain classes, it becomes gain because the same laws apply. You can see that when you look at the game of chess, the game of Ludo, the game of football, and the game of warfare, some of you, do you realize, and I'm going to get to that, if you look at all these scenarios, you will see that you obey the laws. Do you realize that chess is visualized as warfare? And of course it is warfare. And people use tactical, when you see the videos of the World War, you can see their warfare strategies. They are always on a board, on paper. They use these scenarios because they know that they need to observe their laws, the objective they have in mind, the strategy to develop, and the loophole. So you see them on paper. You see the general, the military general with his colonels on a map. So we put this here, we attack from here. But at the same time, when you go through the book of Joshua, you see all the strategies Joshua used. There was a strategy Joshua used for Ai. The strategy came from God. God told Joshua, he said that, put one army somewhere else around the city. They should not go with you. Then he said, attack the city. Then when the city starts attacking you, start pulling back and running. Because the first time, Ai defeated them. So he said, start pulling the people. Run. So when they went to fight Ai, they engaged them in warfare. And then when the warfare started, this is when I started withdrawing and started running. So the people, the armies of Ai, rushed and started pursuing the people. And everybody, even people that were not warriors, according to that story, pursued the Israelites and Joshua, and they chased them until the city was in. Then the other folks that were around entered the city and set it ablaze. So when the people realized what was happening, they tried to return, but they were already army, so they were in the middle of their enemy. So they surrounded them and defeated them. It was strategy. These are observations. So let's model, show you how the economy relates to a game in terms of the laws. First of all, the game itself is the market, trading. It obeys the laws. It falls in the category of a game scenario, not video game. Oh my God. The players of the game are the traders and the merchants, each one with his own objective, with his own strategy of gain. Some are fraudulent. Please, don't be caught in that realm. We have the rules of the game, which are the laws of markets. Some people don't know that there are the market laws. There are laws of market that govern trade, the laws of trade. They don't know. Yet they want to be successful in trading. How can you have a strategy when you don't know the law? You'll be violating it and you pay for it. Whenever you violate the law, you suffer punishment. The punishment in this case can be a loss. There's the objective of the game, which in our own case is for profit and increase. You trade for increase. And then there's the game, then there's the game strategy. Your trade secret. People don't trade alike. I wish with time we can just understudy a few business and see their trade secrets. We saw the trade secret of the Prince of Tyre last weekend. His strategy of trade, which is why God said to him that through great wisdom you have increased your riches. That wisdom is kokma, is strategic thinking. Through a strategic thinking, you have been able to possess the market. And then we have our set of possible fixed outcomes in the market. It's either you lost or you increased, you incurred losses, or you broke even. That is, when you traded, whenever you trade, the outcome is fixed. It's either you gain, you lose, or you didn't gain or lose. Your first input is the same as the output in terms of the wealth. Because if it's taking your time, you lost because you invested your time. You didn't gain from that. So that's what is called a break even. The outcome is fixed in that you lost, you gained, or you broke even. Now listen, every outcome comes with a possible implication. When you gain, you grow and expand. Like we saw the necessity of profit. We say profit is good for expansion, for growth, for business exploits, for impact, and for you. So the implication of gaining is that you grow, you expand, you do more exploits. You increase the success, your impact of your business goes to another level. Even losing comes with the implication of the outcome. The person either goes out of business, suffers a setback, or his business begins to diminish, or continues the business at a lower scale. Have you seen some companies that all of a sudden began to cut down? They had 100 employees before, they cut down, it became 70, they cut down. They were renting a big space before, they closed that space and went to a small space. Why? They are cutting their business. If the business is diminishing, unless if they have a strategy of cutting costs for the sake of investment in another area or for the sake of diversifying. But in most cases, when you see those kinds of decline, it's an implication of an outcome. They lost. So for the business to sustain this way, they have to cut down. So they are not growing, they are receding. And then the implications of outcome is that you suffer a stagnancy. Please, I wanted to say this, I don't know why I said it, but it will be your best interest if you have round table notebooks. So that as we are teaching, you are taking notes and writing some things down. It's going to be your best interest. Have your round table notebooks. All the teachings, have your own jottings. It will be good for you. It will help you to remember the things we say. The business suffers a stagnancy. They are stagnant because they broke even. They invested $100 million. They got $100 million back. So they got their money back. They couldn't do so much. It comes with an implication. So tonight, as we are rounding up, let's see the game itself, which is the market. Markets, like I said, for you to what your success in a game is your strategy. Your success in any game is your strategy. The people who do programming knows that the success of your program lies in your algorithm. Your algorithm is your strategy. A strategy is also an algorithm. It's a step-to-step feedback, input and output process. I do this, I expect to do this. I expect to get this. If this does not work like this, then we switch like this. So your success in any game is your strategy. And I've showed it to us through several game examples. Your success in the game of what is how successful your strategy was against your opponent. We'll talk a little bit about the opponent, because when we get there, we'll talk about that. So, but your success in every game is your strategy. But to have strategy, you must understand the game. You must understand how it works. I'll round this teaching tonight by telling us a story of strategy, of something that happened in real life. And then we'll round up. So let's go to the market, because the market is where the game. Some people don't know that when they are in business, they are falling under the class of an event that is called the game. And that the game laws prosper there. I told us, if you like, you can study the Nash equilibrium. The Nash equilibrium is a concept in game theories developed by the economist Nash, John Nash, and he received the Nobel Prize equivalent for that discovery. Well, you can look for a non-mathematical approach to it to understand what it is. That theory is used in negotiation in warfare, if you so please. All right, so we are in the market now. We are trying to understand the concept of the market. The reason why we went through the process of teaching you through this model is because it's what it is, and it helps us to expose to you certain intricacies that will be difficult to relate with you without using this model. And really, this model is necessary. So we are in the market. The market is an environment that the activities that go on fall under the class of the event that we have described. So, what is a market according to our definition? Like we said, we are not interested in taking definitions from what has been further established. We are rediscovering several things according to light. There are several definitions I gave here, each coming with different flavors, but it's for the purpose of sight and perspective. So, firstly, we said the market is when and where wealth is available for the purpose of exchange or transaction. Where and when wealth is available for the purpose of exchange and transaction. That points you to the fact that a market can be a place or it can be an instance of an event. Now we have online market and we have market scenarios. But where and when wealth is available for the purpose of exchange or transaction, we have a market here. A market can also be seen as a place where the activity of trade is carried out, where trade is done. And trade, we said, is exchange of wealth, exchange of possession. Understand that the market is a game, is a scenario that falls into this class of events, as we have continually spoken about. When you come to the market, you see that trade occurs in the market. We have a football pitch. They can dance on a football pitch, maybe during the halftime. But what goes on in a market is a football, in a football pitch, is a football game. What goes on in a basketball court is a basketball game. So what goes on in the market is trade. So a market is where and when there is exchange of wealth. Where it can be a location, where it can be the instance of an event. Praise the Lord. Now, some of us see market as anywhere that people are gathered and there are a lot of tables. Anywhere where wealth is exchanged is a market. Market by definition, it can be a structure that there is elevator inside. It's a market. It falls under the anywhere and any instance of exchange of resources for the purpose of mutual utility or satisfaction. An instance of a market has been formed. Or that place is a market. Now let's go further deeper into the market now. What is really the market? Nitty gritty. In my studies or in my personal observation, I looked and I saw. I looked because I sought, I said, I looked into the market. And what I saw in the market is not, it may not be a new, but I'm going to show you out of the insight of what I saw. What I saw in the market is simply. I try to see the drive, just that singular thing in the market that holds it. And what I saw is pretty simple. I saw need. And that is what I want to use to teach us tonight. Need. I saw that a market is a place where there is need. A market is orchestrated for the purpose of demand. A market continues to thrive because needs continue to arise. A market will decline with respect to decline in demand. I saw that the single most important factor in the thriving of every market is that the need is increased, that there continues to be in demand. Some of you know what is called seasonal markets, certain kinds of markets that thrive at certain periods. Those kinds of markets decline with their demands. I saw that the most important thing for a market is demand. Every market is only sustained for as long as there is demand. Then I realized that if we want to build markets, and I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about concepts. If we want to build market, we should build market around needs. I looked and I saw that the revolutionary idea is that most people build their market around supply. They just go and get goods and learn to sell it. And so they miss out and they pile those goods up. They get goods because they are able to lay hands on goods. They build their market around supply. When I looked, that was not what I saw in the market. I saw that market is relevant because of need. And for as long as there is need, the market will continue to thrive. Which brought me to understand that the most important law in the market is demand. When you move into a market scenario, what drives people around is need. If there is no need, there will be no traffic. If there is no need, the market will not be a buzz. It will be quiet. The players, the merchants will remain in their store. There will be no activity. You go to a market, say, our market, say, market, no day today. There was no drive. You build market around needs, around people's need. You don't build it around supply. When you go to the market, you see supply, but that supply is built with the understanding of need behind. When you go to the market, you will see supply, but supply is not what is powering it. It is demand that is under it. Some people build their market around supply, so they want to impose it on people when you don't know people are driven by their needs. I told you the law of economic behavior is that people's need determines the shape and the behavior of the market. Which is why the market, if you are not intelligent in it, it becomes spontaneous, because people's need are spontaneous. There are trends that can be marked, but those trends are marked with behavior, which is why we point out the term, and we don't know if it already exists, as the market, the psychology of the market. The first principles from what I saw that the market must be built around needs, not supply. Don't get what you can get to sell, get what people need. That is what every market will thrive, as long as it is built around needs and demand. When your market is built around it, you don't need to speak so much grammar to get people to get what you are. Because human necessity and needs drive economic activity. Those are the agreed definition of Leonard C. Robbins of economics. That is what it highlights. That economics is driven, the field of economy is driven by needs. A market will thrive for as long as there is demand. So what is a market again? A market is an institution built around solution to demands. Now let me tell you, every institution you see in business there is an institution of demand. I talked to us about Flutterwave. Flutterwave came up with a revolutionary a pathway, a system of facilitating paying school fees overseas, and payment is completed within 3 days, over and against months it was taking. And people are jumping into it because it met a need. There's a story of two men that went to, I think was it India, and saw that people were barefooted. Why one was lamenting at how backward the people saw. One of them returned and met a company and said, just produce to me mass production of footwears. And he took it back there and sold them. He saw, when the other guy saw people's backwardness in civilization, the other guy saw a market, an economic opportunity. Now, I refer to all your banking institutions, I call them institutions of demand. They are, this simple statement, everything in creation answers to that. Anything, all your organization, they are all there for the sake of, when there is no demand for what they are offering, they will go out of business. Which is why the technique of advertising, and advertising is a strategy, is to make you, create in you a need for something. That is why you see advertising content puts thought in your mind. It is only when you see an advert, treatment, you realize that, wow, if I have this, it won't be bad. The objective, the one, they are proposing that at the end of it, you should see a reason why you need this thing. Which is why you see, if they want to introduce a new product, let's say, like, what do I use for an instance now? Oh my God. I want a very tactical instance that will be able to capture everything I want to talk about. Let's say we have people washing with their hands. They'll show somebody that came back from an office so tight, and then the person sees the pile of clothes. That's the advertisement. The screenplay, the person that wrote the screenplay, that's the story. They'll show the person in a bank or in an organization delivering speech in a board meeting, presenting with a slide. Then maybe they'll just show, and this is not like an avatar, I'm saying, I'm only just creating something for you to see. And the person is in a board meeting, talking to the staff, presenting with a slide, and then they'll show the person's thought. The person will realize that that's the last clean shirt they have, and that they don't have time. And then they'll check their schedule after that meeting and see that they have another thing scheduled for 7. And then thinking of going, they see that they have traffic. And then when they go to them, they just see a pile of clothes. But then they now introduce to you a washing machine that can wash your clothes. They show you how clean it can wash clothes and how fast it can dry them all of a sudden, that in less than 10 minutes, you can get all your clothes washed and dried at the same time. And then this person goes to the store and gets this washing machine that same day, and puts the clothes and dries everything, and then just hires it. And the next day, they are looking clean and everybody's smiling, and they walk into the next meeting. And before you say anything, the people are applauding their appearance. And then you sit there and say, Kai, this washing machine is necessary. All these clothes I'm washing, they have used technique to show you why you need one, so that their market will flourish. That's the broad scale. And the advertising agency, the people that do strategic and systematic advertising, that condition a whole nation to think in a direction that generates great thoughts in them as to why they need a service, a commodity. It's called the advertising technique. You see some restaurant with just a declarative slogan, you are hungry, why not stop by for a snack? And then you see pictures of food clear, and then you see it, maybe you just see it as what you see, you become, your stomach grumbles. You say, well, I think I'm hungry, it would be bad idea to get any of this. They'll show their rice and people are eating it and doing it's like, wow, this will not be a beer. I think I need to try this. I think I'll need one of this. I think I need to go to this place. They use techniques to create awareness, and then they show you why it's their own service and commodity you need. If you read a book by Why You Do the Things So You Do, The Power of Habit, the author of the book was able to show two strategic advertising technique, how toothpaste companies do strategic campaigns and sell it. He used companies like Pepsodent, and they will show you how that you need to keep a good issue. They used advertising to inspire a brushing culture in the United States of America. It was technique, because then people were not brushing their teeth, two decades everywhere. They used a technique to instill a habit of brushing in the whole country. He did a systematic research of it with dates and figures, strategically broken down. They will tell you with ordinary detergent, you can get this level of cleanliness. But when you try this detergent, it gives you 10 times, because you use magnetic this, magnetic this, we have this so-so compound, linear archive, this, and all that. There are some of you, when you go to a store to buy a particular category of product, there are some products you buy not because you knew them before. You saw them on an advert and you remember the way the people were having fun. So is that this thing? You know what? Let me have that one. Let me try it. every company you see will only remain in service to as long as there's need and there's demand for it. So you have a lot of variables now in place. You have to deal with the concept of ensuring that demand is sustained, then ensuring that you are what is being demanded. Now, all of this puts you at several levels now, because where we have a market that is, there's demand, there are other players in the game. And let me tell you, there is the game of the market is mutually exclusive. You can't have the same transaction at the same time. Transactions are not omnipotent. If this person captures a customer, you can't have, if I buy a pack of sugar here, there are 10,000 other stores that I'm denying from buying that. So whoever converted me to their store to buy, for every one pack of sugar I got, there are 10,000 other stores that lost out on one pack of sugar being gotten. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Oh my God. What's the time? Oh my God. 9:32. Oh, and we're just trying to. Father, I'll give you praise.
So within the market, demand is, I call your banks institutions of demand. They are there to meet a need. Secure of cash and assets. Processing of seamless financial transactions and services. For as long as people will need those services, the banking industry will remain relevant. But now we have many players in the banking market. It's a trade. I can't have the same money. If I put my 100,000 here, I cannot put that same 100,000 in that bank. It's another 100,000. For if I want to put that same 100,000 in that bank, I have to remove it. When I remove it from this bank, I've denied that bank that asset. I move it here. So you win and lose. The most single important thing in market is demand. Don't just go and get products and say, I want to be selling them now. Every market, the first step in trade is knowing what is in need. Market is built around demand. What drives the market is demand. Most people know that food items continue to flourish, but there's a time where they flourish more during festive season. Most people know that people patronize beverages more, especially during the cold season. People buy thick clothing more during the cold season. People buy thick clothing more in cold regions. You carry light long sleeve, you want to go and sell in Russia. When they don't even have time for fashion, they are looking for cardigans that use animal fur to retain it. Market is built around demand. You go to the market, you see goods, you see phones, you see clothes, you see shoes. It's not supply that is the power, is the market power. That supply you are seeing is standing on the need. When the business person is not intelligent, I've seen some businesses. I went to a place, I saw a business open. I said, this man came and opened this kind of business here. How many people come here needing this? He didn't stay for 1 year, he packed from there. Because the people that need that, his customers are not found in those kinds of scenario. He has opened the right business in the wrong environment where need doesn't exist. It didn't last. He got caught up with these theories because he didn't learn these laws. He didn't do his survey properly. But you see people open businesses near you see some people where they are building houses, they go and open a small restaurant there inside Bacha. They know that the workmen will need to eat. They just took on, now they meet the site owner and say, please, can I be selling food? They say, okay, why not? Because the workmen will be hungry. You see cafeterias inside of corporate, when you go to federal parastatals, the House of Assembly, you see people that own restaurants in strategic places. Because the people that come there, this is an office space, some person don't come with food. Market is built around need and demand. It's not supply. Don't just go and lay your hand in every good you have, every goods you can get. I want to enter business. I want to start selling this. Your clothes, the people around you, because when you start, the people around you, what is their predominant need? You start selling, you know, and then you have commodities that you have not transacted. There should be wisdom in place. You don't learn the laws, you get punished. Well, it built around need. That is the market itself. These are the first understandings you must know.
Just go ahead and give up, please. The time is already up. I'm fasting. We are gone by 7 minutes. Glorify God, give you praise. Thank Him in the highest. Father, we worship You. Go ahead, magnify God in your spirit. Glory to God. I believe you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank You for tonight. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Before we round up, I don't know if somebody has a testimony here of impact or whatever, something you want to share with us, or something you want the house to hear. This is the opportunity. Let's give you that opportunity within the time that we have here. The floor is open, just the testimony, something the house should hear. Why not? Go ahead. Glory to God. Father, give you praise. We have that opportunity for the next few minutes we have.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Why the meeting started and then we were speaking about strategy. I just got a strategy of something. Now, something that I own got broken some time ago, and I was just looking for a way to fix it, and I had no idea of how to do it. As a matter of fact, I even went to the market to get a new one, but something happened, I couldn't get it. And just this evening, while you spoke and then talking about strategy, the word just dropped. Why not try it like this? And then when I saw it, I knew that it could be fixed using that method based on the strategy, just by the word that was released here this evening, sir.
Glory to God. I like those kinds of statements. Why not try it like this? That's how wisdom speaks. You know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, cast your net to the right side. And then there was a yield. It's not just that, there are other things too. There are many people that, there are many people here that you know what is going on inside you. Some things are downloading, just flow of revolutions, ideas, just filling your heart. Some of you will know the business, what to do now. After a meeting, somebody can say that, I know what to do. We give God praise for those ideas. Glory to God. Is there any other one? We're open to hear from you. Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a word like the market side. I really.
Oh, what? Can you speak up? What did you say?
While you were speaking, you asked if there's a word for market. Ecology or trader's
Okay.
just that there's a word, I just that there's a word, and the I don't know, for me it's just the breakdown of things that was and yet and as a first trader and bringing it down to my doorstep and seeing it with spiritual aspect of it. I'm just overwhelmed by the knowledge. And also, while you were speaking, I began to understand also the marketplace happened, because what if you know, taking the chart for me as an individual, there are what we call the demand zone and supply zone. So, and those are critical areas attest to some of the technical analysis we undergo in order to place trades in the market. The way everything was going, it was really, it was overwhelming for me as an individual. And understanding the foul plays that happen around with what is happening in the financial market at last. I don't want too long, but knowledge is overwhelming, so I appreciate God for this network. So.
Glory to God. Father, we can we go ahead and celebrate God for that testimony? Thank you, mighty God. Give a praise, celebrating God. Let me hear your hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
There's
a word like market psychology, but we don't know that. But it's an understanding that developed out of our own progress by coming into knowing and revelation. So now if there's a word like that, I don't know. And I said it, I didn't remember to, I think I said it last time through this teacher, and I'm not having, it's not occurring to me to check if there's a word like that. But you can see, if I continue to talk about market psychology, we can develop a whole field of study and talk about market psychology and not even know there's a field like that. And then we can, when we are teaching it, more like we are teaching with more insight because it's a discovery on our own part. And then somebody's like, oh, there are already things like that. When we check, we got that, oh, can you believe that everything we are seeing is already in a textbook? And you're like, how did you get to know this stuff? Like, that's the gift of God. I was talking about a concept, I derived the concept, and I had the definition of it in my heart, wrote it down, used it to develop other concepts. So Monday, that's, let me even check if this is it. And what I defined it was what was there. And it's a concept in a field that is not, I didn't do it to invest. But like I said, invention is born out of necessity. I told you that Leibniz and Newton, till date, there's still a controversy on who is the original owner of calculus. But one was in Italy, I believe. The other one was in England. They developed the same mathematics. So they say this one learned from this one, copied this one, or this one copied this one. No, generally, it's agreed that Newton invented calculus. But to the trade-off of the other guy that is not seen as the one who developed the mathematics. Whatever is the story, but both of them invented a mass to solve the same problem. Handling engineering quantities that are variables, that are varying with time, or varying with all respect to other factors. And people who do engineering and anything, calculus is an indispensable part. Even in economic quantities, they use differential equations, differential calculus to model equations in economics. Anybody who has done any of those things, you have met one or two calculus along. It's forever in mathematics, you must see this, did that. In physics, it's just there. It's born out of necessity. God, we thank you. Give me praise. Is there any other one? We should have quite a number. Give God praise. Quite a number. Is there one that we still need to hear from somebody?
Oh, yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, go on, Lizzie.
Mine is just is an encounter that's preparing for the assemblies of structures.
Glory to God.
When you were speaking on, there's going to be physical meetings and all that. So, during that season, it was still me and my younger sister took it upon ourselves to pray because youth IAC 2023 was coming up and the structures the same week. So we were just praying and praying. So one of the nights I had an encounter and I saw us gathered in a place together, fellowshipping. It just came when you were speaking that there's going to be a physical structure and the presence of God filled the place. People sat and you were teaching. Outbreak of signs and wonders. That was what I saw when you were speaking. Actually, it's me and my sister that is still here. So I was just reminding her of the revelation. So I said I should bring it home. Thank you.
Glory to God. I said to us that the signs that will occur, the earth, the world will quake. What we know here is not a reinvention of the wheel. We have trusted God to say, let us fetch out of the depth of heaven out. Charting new pathways. I'm aware that there will be so many signs in creation because of the invasion of heaven. Diverse signs. We have seen testimonies there, and there's some we don't even know of them. Some we are just knowing them after many years. Somebody had an encounter many years ago. Say, sir, there was a meeting you held in a vision. I said, he said, the things I saw, I can't even say it with my mouth. He said, as if there was an earthquake. And can you believe that word? He said, there was a quaking, and the person couldn't put it towards what they saw. And there are many instances of people having visions of things and said, sir, I can't explain what I saw. They are just under dread. And that's why we trust God forever for grace to follow the right pattern until we achieve, come to that place of Christ without deviation or adding man's impurity. So that when it's time to demonstrate, for God to reveal all his glory, there won't be any shortage in the revelation. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short. One portion of the revelation will not be lost due to the fact that it was obstructed. I'm very sure that the whole creation will quake. We have some things developed that we have not talked about. We can't even talk about now. But it will rock the very academia. It will rock the very root of setting foundations. In 2019, we had a vision. And in that vision, we saw somebody just came and threw something at us. And when we opened it, we saw a document. And so in real life, we had somebody say, get this particular thing for us. And he brought it to us. It was about 300 and something page with 6 chapters. We read each chapter twice every day. Did you get that? Twice every day. 300 and something chapters, getting to almost 400. We read the chapter, make sure we finish it in the morning, come back at night, and finish it at night. So we are reading the chapters twice daily. Chapter 1, 2 times a day. Chapter 2, 2 times. We took it one day at a time, but we read it twice a day. Chapter 1, 2 times. You finish it, you go back. And that finishing is not like you read it, you ensure that you are knowing what you are reading. At the end, we entered the stream of light. It's contained in a scroll. We have not said it to anybody for that number of years. It's revolutionary. It will quake structures from their root. It remains sealed. And there are many, many quaking things in God that remain sealed. That's why we always advocate and we admonish, follow Christ till the end and follow him according to his plan. You will not be small at the end of the day. Like one of my fathers will say, no matter how far you have traveled in the wrong direction, it is never too late to make a U-turn. No matter how much you have invested in the wrong thing, stop. Somebody say, I've already, stop it. Turn it to the right thing. God is to be praised. Hallelujah. Do we have another one again? Maureen? Anything from you?
Yes. Yes, sir. Okay.
Glory to
good
God.
Evening. Yes, I want to share an experience that I had last night. So after the prayer that you made about the spirit of wisdom, so I think about 3 weeks ago, when I had the encounter with Smith, because I was in the dream. So I had this dream where an individual was explaining to me a means of generating electricity. So it sounded very abstract. I mean, what I was getting from the vision. So, but I've been praying to God for more understanding. Then after the prayer yesterday, I had a follow-up vision. So I saw this man that was explaining to me how to harness power from the sun. And it was a little bit abstract because I have not seen something like that before. And the interesting thing is that the person was telling me that we could use this power source to power aeroplane. So when I woke up in the dream, I had to go online to check as in how is this happening. So but I'm actually still praying to God for more revelation on that. Well, I had the first encounter 3 weeks ago, and this follow-up was after I made prayer.
Wow. Father will give you praise. Glory to God. Can we go ahead and celebrate this kind of impact? Wow, that's mighty. There are wisdoms in that. You can already see God is teaching somebody insight and light. I saw in a book I was reading where the prophet was teaching on prophecy. And he said that God said to him, said, I wanted to give the wisdom for the technology of computers as it is presently to one of my sons. This is a prophecy. Say, but he didn't follow truth in the end. So he fell into the hands of somebody. Let me tell you, God is a God of wisdom, technology. God said to one of his prophets, he said in the year of 1980s, in the 1980s, he said, you will stand in one place and be preaching, and the whole world will be listening to you. He said the whole world will be seeing you. Then the technology of satellite coverage and collaboration was not even used in that direction. So he believed God by faith, even though he didn't know what it meant. But today he stands in one position, and the 100-something nations are gathered, listening to him speak to them at the same time. And he remembered the word of God. How did God know that? God knew that a time will come that satellite coverage and broadcast and the internet will evolve, that there will be collaboration. It is you that don't know that God knows science. I wish I could show you some things that within creation, there are let's leave that. Let's not talk about it. The wisdom of God is too much. What these scientists are discovering is God's wisdom. I told us that the early scientists, were their purpose, they say, was to discover the glory of God hidden in creation. So you see, let's leave it. It's possible. You see the kind of people that God is raising, is teaching them things. You see, it's a prophetic gift, grace, with teaching him, prophetic wisdom. And God is using a channel of prophetic channel to transmit wisdom to him. God can use the same channel to transmit a book to you, and then you write a story out of heaven. He is dealing with inventions. You also can deal with a story. They tell you the treatment, what is called a treatment in literary studies. They tell you the treatment of the stories, the character development, and then you forge out a story out of heaven. And then immediately I'll say, we want to adapt this as a screenplay. I say, well, I want to, but I want to stay on the court to ensure that you don't tamper with the story. Say yes. And then you see the screenplay, say, I agree with this. You sign a contract, then the movie is making millions. You are making millions. The objective is not the money, it's the impact. And if we have Christian media houses like the Universal Studios, and all of you have Christian media houses that we agree to publish Christian content. Because the story of a man called Erickson Johnson, he was a Christian that wrote cartoon for kids. And then CBS, you know, PBS, Public Broadcasting Service, told him, we want to be publishing your cartoon on Newsbreak. So they took his cartoon. The title of the cartoon is Hank the Cow Dog. and it revolved around a farm that had a man, his wife, and a cow dog. A dog who behaves like a cowboy, he wears a hat, so it's called a cow dog. And then the story is about animals that come to steal chicken eggs and all that. When they stood, he took his comic book and they wanted to, he gathered his family neighbors around and people around, they wanted to celebrate him. When they played it, he didn't understand. They changed the story. Then they removed everything called marriage inside it, because they were trying to project a worldview. So they removed the concept of marriage and made the man to be like a staff in the house, made the woman to be head of the enterprise. In short, the son that they had, who was son in the farm, this child of the people, he was not even in the play again. At first, he thought that they were making a mistake, but he realized that level of professionalism, they can't be that kind of thing. It was much later it dawned on him that certain political forces of correctness are taking his stories and stripped it of values. Because, of course, they don't believe value. The public space don't accept that. They used worldview influence to strip his stories off. So there are certain stories you will give to Hollywood, they will not produce it. It doesn't sell their agenda. That's why we need media houses with quality production, that people can bring Christian content and they will produce a movie that will stand at the same level of delivery and excellence with every other Hollywood buster out there, but deliver quality of story. Sometimes we do movies, you see the visual effect is laughable. They use cut and join. The person is here, then the person goes, they just do, so the person just poop, and then he's there. There's no quality in this, so it's not even appealing in terms of, we need people that will deliver excellence and that are Christian based, so that when we write quality stories that highlight the predicament of humanity and don't add filter to it to make it sugar, then we produce it and be stick true to the script and not say, well, we can't accept this, you know, this, when you do this, it means you are, you know, sidelining this, you are discriminating this kind of people. You know, we have to accept this, the people are like this, it needs to be holistic because of the concept of political correctness. This is derogatory to a group of people, so we can't accept this storyline. This storyline doesn't, people are going through a lot. There's no something as demon possession, they are just having social, they are not normal. They will change you through. We need, where are these guys? Thank God we have a good number of them. But if we want to produce quality content that, you know, we talk about, you know, Christian people watch Hollywood, but Hollywood people don't really watch, because most time when we do movies that only Christians can watch. How the, you as a woman, a pastor's wife, or as a Christian woman, you have to live like this so that your children can grow. You have to be praying for your children. Those are movies that Christians will watch. A non-believer does not know what you are talking about. He doesn't have those backdrop. He doesn't believe in evil spirit. Why not write a story that preaches the gospel without explicitly, with a label that is Christian movie? When they are sending you satanic messages, they don't write satanic movies. They don't say for Satanists. They leave it neutral. But your children are watching, and you are watching it, and diverse things are occurring. You are seeing demonic signs. They don't say Satan's movie. But you make movie, the movies you are writing only influence the body of Christ. Even preach a gospel out. Why not write content that when people watch it, it will leave them with a thought? If you produce a movie and give to Universal Pictures, they won't produce. If you give it to Paramount, they won't agree. They'll say, will it sell? But we have Christian media houses and deliver at almost level. They won't care if it will sell or not. They will say, this message is of God. We need to work on this. See, let me tell you, all the time we are thinking about, say, let's get more. What are those kinds of structures that are equally as important as building a church? Because those will still impact worlds. We still impact life. They are all equally important. So people have to be called in that direction with that kind of vision to build those kinds of things already. And have Christian actors and authors that live with integrity, that are emulatable. See, this creation, there are a lot of things to be done.
If the revival is holistic, it's not one dimensional.
Go ahead, give your praise. I've spoken a lot. Father, we give you praise. I hope we heard that part.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate all of us joining in that state till this time. God bless you. Your time is not taken, your presence is not taken for granted. We appreciate you. God bless you all. And for all of us who are having encounters, God is with you. Pastor Gabriel, God is with you. And this is just the beginning. We have to round up now and close up now and trust God to continue next week and keep us in step with some of the developments that come. Like I'm saying, a lot of things are in development and shiftings are occurring. So it won't be long here. You see us in your city. Hallelujah. Mm. The word of God. And when it comes, be God's best together. There are people that should hear this word. If they will not join the life meeting, share the audio with them. I say you have to hear what is being said here. This gospel is to all men. All men. All men. The things we have said, you don't have to be a Christian to find it profiting. You don't have to be. A Muslim can hear what we are saying. You don't have to be a Christian. But it's the word of God. I'm saying all this depth because the laws of creation are universal. The law of gravity doesn't apply to only Christians. That's why unbelievers still build their crafts. Jesus, Lord. God bless you. You are appreciated. Father, we thank you for tonight and the impact of tonight. Be thou magnified. I know there are people with testimonies and other things. Please write to us, to the admins. Their numbers are there. Message them on WhatsApp and send to them. And we'll share them and be aware of them and give praise to God. Father, we thank you for tonight. Be thou exalted. Thank you for your help and your impact. Let your grace continue to abound. Be glorified, mighty God. Glorified, and let your redemption continue to abound. Be exalted. Thank you, mighty God. For in Jesus' most precious name, I pray. God bless you and have a wonderful evening. Take care of yourself. Amen. Glory.